to this congregation. I just want to let you guys know that I love you guys so much. You guys are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my family. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak in front of you today. as Dan mentioned, I'm talking about family today. We kind of know our theme of the summer. It's you've seen this around. It's as family we go. And right under that, it's the art of celebration. And so this summer, we're going to be hitting on what it means to be a family. And then later on, we're going to be talking a little bit about just the art of celebration. But let's focus on today about what family is and what it means to go. So I really want to encourage you guys, if you got paper, if you got your phone, I want you to get it out right now. And I want you guys to take notes today, all right? Sunday morning is not enough. It's not just about going to church. It's about having a relationship. It's being united with Jesus. So our first point today is, and we've got three of them, it's we're going to define what family is, all right? And so our first definition of family is this: it's the simplicity of unity, all right? We're simply unified. I just recently got to witness the marriage of my brother Chase and his wife Ashley. It was actually at my parents' farm. It was a beautiful wedding, full of love, laughter, and a little bit of dancing, and I am constantly reminded that I cannot dance. Cannot dance. One of the unique things that I got to experience and witness that day was that my family became a little bigger that day. Now, not all families are bonded through marriage. We've got friends who are family. We've got coworkers who are family. We've got sports teams who are family. And we've got this awesome church family. And I'm pretty sure almost everybody in here has that, either that crazy uncle or that one relative that you call grandma or grandpa that comes to every family function. And then you find out when you're my age that they're not related to you in the least. See, what every family has in common is that the people who call it family are making it clear that those around them are important to them. No matter the pain, no matter the frustrations, no matter what life brings, that you are part of this family. There's this underlining importance in family, and that is called unity. So let's see what the Bible has to say about unity. Here's just a few verses. 1 Corinthians 1:10, be perfectly united in mind and thought. This is so important for the church. We've got to be united in our thought. We've got to be united in our mission. Okay? We can't have a few people over here, a few people over here, a few people over here. We are a body of Christ. We have to move together. The unity and the mission of our church has the ability to change this entire community. Ephesians 4:11, 13. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, so to unite the members, to unite the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. And this next part got me, guys. I was so excited to read this. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. An impossible task we're able to do that only through unity in each other. This cannot be done without unity. Unity in faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In John 17:23 we read, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. I think it's incredible. The world has a chance to see Jesus, whether they hear his name or not, whether they go to church, whether they experience Jesus in any other way, they have a chance to see it through our unity, through the family of Christ, through the church. See, that's why as a church we go. And that is the goal of this summer. As family, we go. So I got a question. How are you being a part of a family? How are you being part of the family? Who have you reached out to lately to show them that they are important to you? Now, you may not actually benefit anything from this relationship, and that is totally fine. That's awesome. Your goal and family is to make it known that they are loved, that they are important to you, and that you want them to be a part of your family. See, the word unity, it's often used as a noun, but today I want to begin using it as an action, as a verb. So what does the verb unity look like? What does it look like? Well, first of all, I think love, I think that's so important. I think the unity of love. I think forgiveness, forgiving those that have wronged you. Giving grace to those who don't deserve it. Maybe reaching out to others who are lonely, who need a friend. Killing gossip. I think that one's so important. Hey, no, let's not talk about that. Have you actually talked to them about that? And sacrifice, maybe of time, of energy, of resources. That's how we can become unified. That's how we become a family. This is actually one of our values of our small groups in the church. If you've been in a group or in a small group, I think you've witnessed it, whether you've heard it or not, but connected unity. See, we've done a lot of ministry through our small groups this past year. You guys are incredible. And I believe that ministry just happens, just happens because small groups develop this family, this one mind, one heart, which lead to impacted lives around them. It's something that the church cannot do. We cannot program, we cannot plan events in this way. It just happens. It reaches hearts and shows Jesus. Again, I say that Jesus can be shown to those around them, around you, through the action of unity. Now, through the summer, our small groups are taking a break, all right? Our small groups are taking a break. We have several reasons for that. But I want to encourage you in the next moment that family and relationships does not have to end, does not have to stop, does not have to start when small groups start. While you're taking notes, I want everybody in here, I want you to take the next few seconds, and I want you to write down a name. Now, this might be a friend, this might be a family, this might be a person that you've actually met just once, or maybe God is putting on your heart just this name that maybe you've never actually met before. And this name, through this name, you're going to reach out, you're going to love, you're going to serve, you're going to do life with. See, Jesus is showing us that through unity, through relationships, and through Him, lives can be dramatically changed. So I want you to literally take this next few seconds, and I want you to write down a name. Please, write down a name. Maybe it's you and your wife, you're going to write down a name. You and your husband, you're going to write down a name. Maybe your kids can write down a name. I think everybody, this is what the church is. We are beginning to do life with others. We are outreaching. We are showing Jesus to others. So take a second. Write down a name, please. And that name is so important for the rest of the message. So, see, it's when we stop forcing Jesus on people. It's when we stop trying to understand why they're acting a certain way. It's when we stop criticizing them for not coming to church and we begin to pursue a relationship with them, something that is extremely difficult and challenging and hard. But that is when Jesus truly gets introduced to people's life. That's when healing begins, heartbreak ends, pain subsides, growth happens, purity is created, relationships are mended, chains are broken, and life is born. I cannot and will not be able to stand up here today to describe the importance of unity in your family, in this church family. For when we become unified, when unity happens, John 17:23, people, the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. And that goes right into our second definition of family. If you're taking notes, now is a great time to start. Family, the simple act of loving those around us. Okay? Simply loving those around us. And with that name, I want to take a second and I want to encourage you guys. All right? I want to encourage you because I get how sometimes it can be difficult to reach out to people, how difficult it can be to be hurt by somebody. But I want to encourage you that breakthrough is right around the corner. Breakthrough is right around the corner. I was watching a video of a young gymnast in her road to fame. Now, when I say young, 90% of everyone in here looks at me and they're like, oh, you're that young. No, 4 or 5 years old, actually. And she was asked this question, are you afraid of falling? She was up on this beam, up on this platform, and are you afraid of falling? Her response was, no, I simply just get back up. I just get back up. And I loved examining her facial expressions because she said it with almost this confusion to the question, saying, why would I be afraid to fail? Why would I be afraid to fall if I know what's going to happen after it happens? I'm just going to get back up. I'm going to just keep going. See, that's what faith, that's what love looks like. Hey, I'm going to choose to love you, and no matter what you do in return to me, that's exactly what Jesus has exemplified through us, that no matter the hurt, no matter the pain, no matter the betrayal, I am still going to choose to love you because that is what we are called to do. Amen? Amen. I think sometimes we get this fear of getting close to others. Loving others is difficult work, but it's the basis of our faith and of our Christianity. It's loving others to show them Jesus. We have this fear of reaching out, this fear of vulnerability, a fear of losing our time, our energy, and our resources, something that's so valuable to us these days. And if we let people into my life, into my heart, they'll be able to hurt us. They'll be able to go behind my back. See, this fear can be actually crippling to showing Jesus to others. It can be deteriorating to our faith. And actually, the less we choose to simply love others, the weaker the body of Christ becomes, the church becomes. So how do we fight against this? How do we fight against the fear of loving others? Here's the important note for you to write down, all right? Jesus tells us, when there is something to be afraid of, he says, do not fear. When there is something to be afraid of, do not fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So, I actually learned what fear was through experience. I spent 2 summers in Donovan, Missouri, working for a church, and it's known for its river community. And one Sunday, I decided I was going to go out on this river. It's a very difficult river to traverse. It's challenging. It's hard. You're dragging your boat. There's snakes. There's currents. There's 2 waterfalls. It's just... oh, it's difficult. And I went with an experienced canoeer. And so this Sunday after church, I decided to go out by myself. It was around 1 o'clock. And I go out, and I'm fishing. I love fishing, and I'm going. And at some point, I realize I'm not going to make it out of here until after dark. There's no way I can make it to the end point, the only exit ramp, until after dark. Now, this isn't a friendly river. Let me remind you, there's nothing around. There's no people, okay? I end up paddling myself into darkness, and I just kept going. I stopped fishing. It was not fun. I paddled myself into darkness, and I couldn't see. I didn't know where I was. I had these horse flies biting me. It was just miserable, and I became afraid. My fear actually became heightened. I think I experienced true fear for the first time as I heard the approaching of a waterfall. I went down this waterfall the previous year with an experienced canoeer. We went down, about halfway down, we hit this giant rock, and we got stuck on this rock for a little bit, and then we ended up making it down, and it was, that wasn't fun. But now I have to do it in the dark by myself, no phone service. It was just not this fun. So I was like, there's no way I'm going down this waterfall. There's no way I'm going down this waterfall. So I get over to the edge, and I'm trying to get out of my kayak. And so I push my paddle down into the water. I'm trying to find ground where I can actually step out on. And the water falls right over here, and I'm looking. And all of a sudden, I realize it's too deep. By the time I realized that I couldn't get out, I was already going down this waterfall. The current had swept me behind, and I went down this waterfall backwards. Guys, oh man, I experienced fear for the first time in my life. If I flipped, I would have lost everything, and I knew there was one big rock down there that I could have hit. But then it happened. Man, then it happened. I was in the calm. I understood what Jesus meant. I heard that whisper, "Do not be afraid." And as I'm shaking and as I'm terrified, I realize there's no reason to fear, that even when there's something to be afraid of, God is telling us, "Do not be afraid." See, he doesn't just say this when life is good. No, no, no. He tells us this when there's something to actually be afraid of. But you've got to realize that he is the master of your sea. So I encourage you, if you've got this fear of letting someone into your life that has hurt you in the past, or maybe you've got a fear of mending a relationship, maybe it's a fear of just reaching out, the fear of rejection. Jesus is saying that even when there's something to be afraid of, do not be afraid, for true love has no fear. I'm starting to learn what love is. I'm starting to develop what love is. But I'm also realizing that loving others can just be a messy waterfall after dark with horseflies biting you as you go down backwards. You've got no control. It's hard. It's difficult. It's dirty. But God is calling us to reach out through the pain and through the fear. That is when life change happens. And we learned last week that, that grace is this beautiful gift. It's given. It's a gift. It's undeserved. And I want to challenge you today with that name, with that person. I'm just asking one person in your life. You may know, you may not know. To give love as a gift. To let them be a part of your family. To unite with them. Unity. I'm not just talking about being nice or adding them on Facebook. I had a buddy yesterday, who was just like, "Oh yeah, I'm so excited for you. I've been following you on Facebook." When he knew everything about me, but he didn't have a relationship with me. Okay, two totally different things. God has called us to love to the point of unity with others, a love that no one can earn or deserve, a love that pursues through the toughest parts of life and is able to reach the depths of the soul. So what does this love, what does love to the point of unity, what does that do? What does that lead us to? That's our third definition of family, all right? Family, we experience life together. Those who make a difference in the world are always risk takers. For example, Mother Teresa, you've heard of her. She left her teaching position to aid the unwanted, unloved, and uncared for in the slums of Calcutta. Her new family experienced life together. Gandhi, just a regular businessman for over 20 years, led tens of thousands of people through nonviolent campaigns to gain Indian independence in South Africa. His new family experienced life together. Jesus Christ, the carpenter, whether you believe he is actually the Son of God or not, is the most influential man of all time as Christianity has swept over the world. The only self-sustaining man to have ever lived chose to live in unity with others. His new family experienced and is still experiencing life together. Now, if you haven't listened to me at all today, that is totally fine. All I ask is for the next few minutes is you listen to this. This is what I want you to get from today. It is clear that the Bible never imagined a stagnant church or a divided body. I believe that churches, families, and people who make a difference in the world are always risk takers. They risk their life, their career, their job, their finances, their time, their energy, their love, and their heart to go and make a bigger family. You cannot live a life of faith and love without risk. We must become a more dynamic family, stepping out into the unknown of life with the fearlessness of fear itself, trusting that we are never alone and that Jesus is always with us. For the Holy Spirit is most effective in us when we are most active in faith. It's most active in us when we are most active in faith. And faith is all about risk and adventure. See, Peter, he would never would have walked on water. Moses, he would have not parted the seas. Abraham would have not had kids. Esther would have not, or she would have died with her nation. Saul would have never became Paul, and David would have never slayed the giant. You've heard the saying, the local church is the hope of the world. I believe we can go one step farther by saying the local family, you, the children of God, you are the hope of this world. God doesn't call you family lightly. He adopted us at the greatest cost because he loves us. And we get to call the creator of the universe Father because he first called us sons and daughters. And we were not created to go through this life alone. No, we are called family of God for a reason. Yet so often it is easier for to push others away than it is to stay committed and connected. But aren't forgiveness and grace so much more important than who's right and who's wrong? Isn't the kingdom of God about moving forward in unity? About standing together shoulder to shoulder through our best and our worst times? Let's break out of this cage of safety and fear and into the wide open spaces of the unknown, trusting that nothing is impossible with God. For we were never intended to go this road alone. For anyone in this room that has been pushing God away and you want to accept Christ, you want to join this family, now is the time. For those who want to reach out to your name, the person that you've written down, now is the time. If you want to reach out of your comfort zone, now is the time. If you want to stretch your faith and grow, now is the time. For those in this room that are having a difficult time, a hard time, a challenging time of giving love as a gift, now is the time. Now is the time to understand that we were given each other as family, and as family we go. Our altars are open if you'd like to be prayed with or prayed for. I'd love to do that. It'd be an honor.